Welcome, everyone. Steve Insko here, the Chief Executive Officer of the Escondido Chamber of Commerce. I'm with Deanna Smith of Deanna's Gluten Free, and we're talking about gluten. Main topic. Hi, Deanna.
Hello, Steve. How are you today?
Very good.
Oh, good. I've got a lot to talk about in the gluten-free world.
Okay, let's talk about gluten.
You know, I've been talking about gluten for almost 30 years, and what comes to mind is, after all this time, we have established it's no longer thought of as a fad. In the beginning, people thought, oh, what is gluten, and why do I have to be gluten-free? And there were also people who were just immediately against it. Well, I want my gluten, and I want extra gluten. And they would talk about funny things like, and people would say, oh, I don't need to be gluten-free. My sugar is fine.
So, oh, like it was blood sugar.
Like it was glucose.
Glucose.
Yeah. Yeah. So people were just not informed. Hmm. And really, 30, 40 years ago, nobody was talking about gluten at all. It was a non-issue. And it was just until, recently, that it's really becoming mainstream. Although mainstream to you might not be mainstream to me. So I still find that people are coming into the bakery and the restaurant just completely uninformed or don't even know what is going on with the gluten-free world.
I see. So to kind of talk about what it is, my understanding as a novice is that gluten is something that the body, for those who can't digest it, what happens there physiologically with it?
Gluten is found naturally in wheat, rye, and barley. That includes all wheats, all the ancient grain wheats, the spelt, the kamut, the semolina, all of those. If it's under the category of wheat, even sprouted wheat has some degree of gluten in it. Gluten is naturally the portion. Gluten is the protein portion of the wheat. Some people are allergic and some people have an intolerance. So depending on if you have the autoimmune issue, depending on if you have the autoimmune disease called celiac disease, you should not have gluten at all. Wheat, rye, or barley, any kind of gluten would be terrible. It causes a lot of damage in the small intestines and a lot of health complications for people who are celiac. The other part of the gluten-free consumer is the person who has an intolerance. Sometimes we have symptoms of being celiac, but we're not actually celiac. So I know that's a little bit confusing. So everyone has a tolerance of everything they put in their body, like sugar. If you give kids sugar, maybe just a little bit of sugar, they're fine. If you give them too much sugar, they're bouncing off the walls. Mm-hmm. So there is a level of intolerance of everything that we eat and drink. Gluten is the same. For some people, there is zero tolerance, and that would be celiac. And then for other people, they have a variation or a degree of intolerance. And that is all dependent on paying attention to how much gluten that you consume and listening to your body to know what happens when you have a bowl of pasta, or if you have two bowls of pasta, or if you have a sandwich with really thick bread, or if you have a sandwich with just regular sliced bread. If you're paying attention to your body will tell you what's going on. The challenge is we have really never paid attention to our body when we're eating or drinking because we have so many other things going on in our life. We just want to eat because we're hungry, but we don't know why our body is hungry or what it is really hungry for. That's a whole nother topic, of course, but keeping it simple. In the natural state, gluten is found in wheat, rye, and barley. The biggest challenge is the hidden glutens, where they are in food coloring or shelf stabilizers or dough softeners or just any kind of man-made ingredient derived from gluten.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like Campbell's tomato soup has a little bit of wheat in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So also Campbell's soup has needs to have a long shelf life, even though it's in a can. So if you put anything on the shelf and you want it to stay there for any significant amount of time, it's going to have some kind of preservative or shelf stabilizers.
Yeah, right.
Chances are that preservative or shelf stabilizer is derived from gluten. People don't really realize. I always say gluten can be found in anything you put in your body or on your body. Your skin is the biggest organism of your whole self. So when you're putting lotion on or you're washing your hair or you're even when you get your hair colored, there could be some form of gluten in there. And if you have an intolerance or you have an allergy to gluten, it's going to affect you immediately. So there's this whole other level of not just consuming it in your food. If it's on your body and it has gluten, it's possible that you could have a reaction.
Wow, I did not know that.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a kind of crazy thing. So over the years, people have said, you know, I've been trying so hard to be gluten-free, and I stopped eating bread, and I stopped eating pasta, but I still have all these reactions. Well, I say, well, what kind of toothpaste do you use? Does it have any, does it have any of those giant words that monoglucose, LMNOPXYZ, you know, that you can't even pronounce?
Right.
All of those little categories of that monoglutinous LMNOP, all of those things stand for something. Somewhere along the line, it could have some form of gluten. So it's just so important to realize that if you're having adverse reactions and you don't know where they're coming from, first of all, you should go to your doctor. I'm not a doctor. I just know what has happened in my life. And I hear my customers coming into a bakery or a restaurant saying, I feel sick and this, that, or the other. And I say, well, the only thing I can say is everything in my bakery and restaurant is 100% naturally gluten-free. And we use naturally gluten-free products. We don't use stuff that's gluten-removed or gluten-less. There are so many things in the world that are naturally gluten-free. And people are, they crack me up when they put gluten-free on a water bottle. Well, obviously, there's no gluten in water. But, you know, there's just these kind of things. And maybe people don't realize that, oh, okay. Because if they don't know what gluten is, and they're drinking water or a soda or anything in a package that says gluten-free, why would they think otherwise that it wasn't or was gluten-free beforehand? It's a little confusing. So marketing world is very clever. One in 100 people are celiac, and one in 8, and those numbers are growing, are finding out that they're gluten intolerant. Really, I believe for my own self, I'm not celiac, but I have terrible reactions to preservatives and food coloring. And you know, when you are eating clean and you're eating the right foods, enough greens and the right proteins, when you're having a clean diet and you're used to that, and all of a sudden you say, oh, I'm just going to go and I'm going to have this donut, or I'm going to have this processed food. Let's just say processed food. You feel it because you're on a clean diet, and then you put in this processed food in your body and you're like, oh, well, that didn't feel good because I feel less. I feel less than. Whether you're tired or you have brain fog or you just don't have the drive or the energy, when you're feeding yourself and you're doing the right thing and you're exercising and you're getting enough rest, you feel great. When you're not doing those things and not taking care of yourself, then you feel less than great. It's just a matter of paying attention.
Yeah, so I have a question. How do you know whether you're truly celiac? Is that a test you need to take?
Well, you would go to your doctor, and they would you would ask them to test you for allergies. Because if they're going to test you for gluten, they might as well do, you know, as many things as at once as possible, and focusing on the gluten. So you would go to your doctor and ask for an allergy test.
Yeah. And I know for truly celiac people, this can be quite profound. It was for my son when he discovered it.
Mm-hmm. It can be very invasive. It could be very, it's a process. And then there's this funny gray area where you know that you should be on a gluten-free diet. And then if you have, if you've been on a gluten-free diet for some time, then you don't really have the effects that the gluten has on your internal organs, like your intestine. So it might test negative for being celiac, which is kind of a backwards thing. And sometimes you hear about moms saying, well, I had to put my son or daughter back on a gluten diet so that they can test my child to show the effects. So
I see.
Mm-hmm, it's kind of challenging. It depends. It depends on your doctor. It depends on the degree of the effects of gluten on you. So many things. So I would just consult your doctor.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what other aspects of this do you want to cover?
Well, people say, well, why is this all happening now? That's a very good question. We don't really know exactly. Mm. What we do know is that our wheat that we consume today is completely different than our wheat 30 and 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. When your grandmother was making bread in her kitchen, it's not the same kind of wheat that we have here now that our farmers are growing. And we have so many people in the world, and we're trying to feed all of these people, and we're trying to feed them without, you know, breaking the bank, which is very challenging. So people have come up with ways to create genetically modified wheat, rye, and barley. And that changes things. And, you know, anytime you change what Mother Nature started off, there's going to be some effects, whether they're positive, and we can grow, you know, 10 times the amount of wheat in the same plot of farmland, or whether it's going to create an allergy or an intolerance.
Or because they want to be efficient with farming, they store it a long time before it's actually used.
Yes, there's all of that quality control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So it's a different world, and we're trying to keep up. Everyone's working hard to keep up and do the best that we can. Sometimes when we have good intentions, there's just a part of it that doesn't work for everybody.
Hmm.
So for me, this was really never on my radar, to be a baker or to be gluten-free. Hmm. That was to be gluten-free. To be gluten-free in my family was essentially a grown-up issue because none of the children were affected at the time. So when the younger generation in my family were put on a gluten-free diet, that's when I got involved and created bread. And overall made me realize that there was a need here and that we all want to eat. We all want to eat good food. And I want to provide healthy food because I know if you're not eating healthy food, I know what it's like. It's terrible. It's terrible on your body. It's terrible on your productivity. And it just makes for a less than human, if you can say. In the aspect of if you're not eating properly and you're not taking care of yourself, you're not the best person that you can be.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say, love your body and eat real food.
Yeah. I know this sounds strange, but sometimes I almost feel like I wish I was intolerant to it because I would eat more healthy.
It would force you to eat real healthy.
Right. I can eat anything at all, and it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing.
It's not the best for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Deanna, thanks for this information and all about this whole world. If this affects you, it affects you in a big way, or it can affect you in a very big way and life-altering. And so it's, for some people, so important.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay.